So I figure now it's my turn to do something for our church.
I could have chosen any number of people in church each week to provide these videos, but it's just kind of a sampling of all the wonderful treasures that we have here. I hope that you all enjoyed hearing from them, not just me on these weeks. But as we think about this age of returning, kind of where there's a lot of focus on giving back, I want to start again with a question. Don't feel like you have to answer until the end, because otherwise you're going to think I'm very rude, and you'll see why. Please raise your hand if any of the following things apply to you. If you are over the age of 65, if you hope to be over the age of 65 one day, or if you love someone over the age of 65. Raise your hand. That's everybody, right? So this applies to everyone. This is the last sermon in the stewardship series that is examining the different stages of life, and this last one actually contains the greatest number of decades because we are all living so, so much longer. The longevity revolution, as culture calls it, now has all of us living an average of 34 years longer than our great-great-grandparents. 34 years. That is a second adulthood. Isn't that incredible? We get that whole extra stage of life that people used to not even be able to count on. And what are we doing with that? These later years in life are a unique stage all their own, and we all hope to reach it. Yet, I would venture to say a lot of us, because of the world we live in, are more afraid of getting older than we even are of death itself. Because aging has been made to look pretty scary, hasn't it? Doesn't culture make aging look so scary? It's associated with increased aches and pains, chronic illness, loss of friends, getting depressed, not caring about things you used to enjoy, and becoming stodgy and set in your ways. All these things associated with it. The words poor, sick, and old used to be virtually hyphenated, just connected together. But I ask you, is that really true? Or is it just kind of lies we hear in our world? I think that our fear of aging is the result of something important that we need to talk about in churches, and that is ageism. There is an ism for age. Just consider examples in your life where the prejudice against getting older may be at play. Just consider, when you go to a social gathering, do you beeline for the people who are your own age? Kind of assume you might not have anything to talk about with those in the older or younger crowd? Or are there ever any clothes, activities, hairstyles, things that you actually like but you don't take on because they're not age appropriate? You internalize that? Have you ever called one of your elders sweetie or said that they're cute because they did something like curse or make a dirty joke, as if older people aren't allowed to do that? So we all have seen this ageism at work in everyday life. But it's unjust prejudice, it's unjust discrimination, and it certainly goes deeper than just those little occurrences. It's systemic, too. And I would say it's just as bad as racism and sexism, because it really affects all of us. So for some of you, you may have felt that you were the target of ageism, and for some of you, even those of you who are older, you may have been the perpetrator. The World Health Organization calls ageism actually the most socially acceptable prejudice on the planet at this point. Less people fighting against that. People just kind of poo-poo it. But it is self-defeating because it's targeting a group that we all will join one day, if we're lucky, the group that's getting older. So are we really going to believe that we become lesser versions of ourselves as the years pass? Are we going to believe that? I'd like to offer you some evidence of a different reality. Almost 1 in 5 people over age 65 are still working, and households with people that age are the ones with most of the wealth. They have 50 times more wealth in that age group, in this stage, than people under the age of 35, than their households. People are so deathly afraid of winding up in a nursing home, but actually only 4% of Americans live in nursing homes. People over age 60 feel better, are less stressed, less depressed than their younger peers. And you kind of heard about that in previous weeks. The happiness curve actually goes up as you age. One study found that older folks' brains actually react less strongly to negative stimuli. They have learned something about just reacting less to the negative things in life. In her powerful TED Talk on aging, Jane Fonda, you all know her, she's over 80 now. Jane Fonda said she's never been happier, never had such a powerful sense of well-being. She said she feels more truly herself than she ever has before. So it's kind of a different sense of what that might look like. Now, who's in this group now? Who is this group that's in this stage? This large group covers three different generations. And the first is the GI generation. There's few of these folks still living, but there are some, and they are over age 90. They were given the title by Tom Brokaw, does anyone know, of the greatest generation. And that's because our American belief is that hardship and struggle make your character, make you strong. And this is the group that was fueled and shaped by some of the most unprecedented challenges we've ever seen, like the Great Depression and World War II. So those historic lows of poverty and violence were followed by a time of power and wealth in our nation, largely ushered in by this group as leaders. So we call them the greatest. One veteran that's still living in this generation describes the lessons that he thinks they learned as discipline, responsibility, humility, and loyalty. Things we all could stand to learn, right? Those sound like amazing things for us to really learn and make a part of our journeys. After them came the silent generation. They're in their 70s up through those early 90s. And as children, they were expected what? Why are they called silent? They were expected to be seen and not heard, right? They were raised on that. We don't hear that so much anymore, but that was the mantra back then. And they're also called traditionalists because they were told that in order to succeed in life, following the rules was the way to get there. So generally, they're characterized as very hardworking, but also very cautious. And there's actually a researcher on generations that said the silent generation acted like middle-aged adults even when they were only 22 years old, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if you found that to be true, but he found that to be true. Most of them are retired, but they're still very active in their communities. And just so we know, when it comes to churches keeping afloat, like with stewardship, 70% of money for churches comes from this group, this generation. So that's huge. And the last generation that kind of has one foot in this stage is the baby boomers. They were in the group last week, and they're the only generation big enough to actually span two stages of life, people from 50 up through their 70s. So this is a huge group. And all of this is to say that no generation and no birth year is able to define any one of us completely. We have to always work to allow our minds to get to know people as individuals, not to fall into stereotypes. Because that's what Jesus did in his ministry. He got to know people one-on-one. But doing that requires a change of mind and heart. The anti-aging bias in our culture is very powerful, and it would have us just smush people into these stereotypes. Amos Bronson Alcott wrote, "To keep the heart unwrinkled, to be hopeful, kind, cheerful, and reverent, that is to triumph over old age." And Jane Fonda said in that same great TED Talk I mentioned to you, she points out, every single living thing is subject to the physical law of decay. Every single one, except for the human spirit. That's the only one that doesn't fall prey to that law, and the only thing that can continue to evolve throughout our entire lives if we want it to. And she uses this great metaphor for aging of a staircase. And she laughed as soon as she said it because she said, well, stairs are hard as you get older, but nonetheless, a spiritual staircase as a metaphor for aging because we work our way upward into greater and greater wholeness and authenticity the older that we get. And she's convinced of that. She quotes a dear friend of hers living with the terrible disease of ALS, and he says, "As my muscles weakened, my writing became stronger. As I slowly lost my speech, I gained my voice. As I diminished, I grew. As I lost so much, I finally started to find myself." I think that's amazing. And that sounds so much like the 2 Corinthians passage you heard today. Another translation of 2 Corinthians says, even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, our bodies, we have to change where we live, change our hobbies, change. Even though it looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. What a great translation. That's what Paul was saying. This was addressed not just to older people, but to all believers undergoing any kind of suffering. But it does make me think, wow, if we're trying to get that lesson into our hearts, who better to learn it from than those who are well acquainted with a variety of sufferings and hardships, not the least of which are the pains and indignities of aging in this world that hates aging. Growing old gracefully does not happen by accident. It requires intention to be the good role models that some of these people are. We cannot count on aging itself to make us wise. So if right now, right this moment, whatever age you are, if you're already a negative, grumpy, easily offended person, then adding a couple decades is not going to magically make you peaceful and positive and cheerful. Aging itself does not do it. So if we all have this extra potential time in our lives to work with, what do we want that to be about? What can we do with that? How can we grow with that? And are we considering and praying about that right now, whatever age we are? Are we able to live out of faith and gratitude instead of fear? So rather than shrinking our worlds down, which a lot of the researchers on aging say is our temptation, rather than shrinking our worlds down to a manageable size where we won't get hurt, where we're in our comfort zone, could we all approach our aging with the firm belief that our light and momentary troubles are outweighed by eternal glory? Just like Paul says, could we believe that and approach our aging decisions that way? The Benedictine nun and author Joan Chittister, she says, if truth were told, it's really the elderly who have the option to become new again. It's really the elderly who have the option to become new again. So for those of you who are actually in this stage of life, this age of returning, I want to challenge you to be brave and be intentional. Don't just be older, be an elder. And I don't mean an elder in the Presbyterian church. You can do that too, but you've probably already done it. No, I mean, believe that you have something to offer everyone around you, something very valuable. Believe that you have a legacy that God has given you. Legacy sounds so big, but it's not necessarily. If you impact just a couple of people by being who you are, that is huge. Believe that, as Walter said so well in the video, you have more to do for others. There's a reason why you're still here with us getting this gift of growing older. And I hope you have a lot more time to keep giving back because you give so much. Psalm 71 says, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, until I declare your power to the next generation. There is no way that any of us can avoid being an example, proclaiming something to the next generation. We all are going to do that, to be an example. But the question is, what kind of example? In this age of returning, what are we giving back of ourselves? How has God led our stories to this time and place to help someone else to grow because of us? And then for the rest of us who aren't in this stage of life yet, are we receptive to the wisdom of our elders? Are we intentional about building those relationships as if our success depended on it, our maturity? Because it does. My challenge for you is to seek out those relationships, because another study found that doesn't happen very often. That is very countercultural, to seek out friends who are different ages. The study found that fewer than 1/4 of people over age 65 discussed important matters with people under 35. And if you take relatives out, that number drops even further. Only 6% of people 65 and up discuss important matters with young people. That's sad. That means we're all missing out. So seek that out. Getting older is not a problem to be fixed. It's not an illness to be healed. It's a natural part of our life, built into our lives as a blessing. A time of return where, because we're giving in service to others, we're giving back to ourselves, just like that video said. I want to close with the poetic words about this stage from Rainer Maria Rilke, who says, I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not ever complete the last one, but I give myself to it. Friends, may we too feel fulfilled and blessed as we widen our worlds and return ourselves to God, who has given so much to us. Amen.